A very good morning to all and welcome to day 22 of our 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Saturday, 13th March Loving Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, relying only on his finished work on the cross for us and proclaiming our complete dependence upon him. Please forgive every way we have sinned against you, against others, and against ourselves. Thank you that we are covered in Jesus' blood and righteousness. Father, teach us to follow your commands, that we may love you and love our fellow people. For these are your demands, as we walk in faith through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Listen now for the word of God from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 16, the verses 1 to 12. One day the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. He replied, "You know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. You know how to interpret the weather signs in the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times. Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign, but the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah." Then Jesus left them and went away. Later, after they crossed to the other side of the lake, the disciples discovered they had forgotten to bring any bread. "Watch out," Jesus warned them. "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, "You have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? Why can't you understand that I am not talking about bread? So, again I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about the yeast in the bread, but about the deceptive teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Beware of deceptive teachings. Jesus and his disciples had set out for the other side of the lake, and the disciples had forgotten to take any bread with them. For some reason, they were quite disproportionately worried and disturbed for not taking the bread with them. So Jesus said to them, "Beware of the yeast or the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." The disciples' minds were running on nothing but bread. So Jesus asked them to remember. And there were a number of things for them to remember. Remember the feeding of the 5,000 and of the 4,000, and remember the plenty there was to eat, and the abundance which was left over. And when you remember these things, surely you will stop showing unnecessary concern about things of little value or importance. You have surely seen that in my presence, these little problems have already been solved and can be solved again. Stop worrying and trust me. That was put so clearly that the disciples were bound to understand. You cannot have a man like Christ and experience his mighty works in your life and still don't trust him. Stop worrying, Jesus told his disciples. And then he repeated his warning, beware of the leaven or the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The yeast Jesus referred to did not constitute a literal or physical meaning, but was rather metaphorical. It was the Jewish expression for an evil influence. To the Jews, yeast was symbolic of evil. It stood for all that was rotten and bad. Yeast has the power to spread through any mass of dough into which it is inserted. Therefore, yeast stood for an evil influence likely to spread through life and to corrupt it. Now the disciples understood. They knew that Jesus was not talking about bread at all, but he was warning them against the evil influence of the teaching and the beliefs of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The question we need to ask and try to answer for our learning is, what was in Jesus' mind when he warned against the evil influence of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees? I don't know the answer, but let us try to conjecture from the characteristics of the Pharisees and Sadducees with respect to religion. Now, the Pharisees saw religion in terms of outward ritual and outward purity. They were legalistic. So Jesus is saying, take care that you do not identify religion with a series of outward actions or in terms of legalism and forget that what matters is the state of the art, the heart, and your relationship to God and people. So this is a warning against a religion which looks on people's outward actions and forgets the inner state of their hearts. Again, the Sadducees had two characteristics which were closely connected. They were wealthy and aristocratic, and they were deeply involved in politics. So Jesus was saying, take care that you never identify the kingdom of heaven with material things, and that you never pin your hopes of bringing it into political action. What do we learn from this passage? The first is that Christianity is not only about keeping rules and regulations, or what is described in our text as legalism. And the second is a warning against giving material things too high a place in our scheme of values and against relying too much on political action for the reformation of society. At last, the text is about a Christianity of the heart that engages in good deeds and is forgiving and tolerant versus the outward display of piety that most Christian people exhibit without any sense of love and forgiveness. Think of many people who spend a good proportion of their time in church. They are very committed in their own terms. From Monday to Monday, they go to church for one program or the other. They pray constantly. They pay tithes. And they contribute generously, often to founder honors of new religious movements. But there is no sense of forgiveness in their hearts. They pray that God may destroy their enemies and rain down fire on all those who don't like them in that spirit of revenge. These are the ones who have disregarded the command of Jesus to love your enemies and pray for those who hate you. They can fulfill all the outward demands of the church, but they are inwardly impure and even wicked. Friend, you know what Jesus said to the Pharisees in his day. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Beloved, Jesus Christ left us with two commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In contrast to those two commands of Christ, the Pharisees had developed a system of 613 laws, 365 negative commands, and 248 positive laws. By the time Christ came, it had produced a heartless, cold, and arrogant brand of righteousness. As such, it contained many tragic flaws. Accountability to God, in that scheme of things, is replaced by accountability to men and women. It creates a judgmental spirit. The Pharisees confused personal preferences with divine law. It created a false standard of righteousness. It became a burden to the Jews. It was strictly external, and it was rejected by Christ. Christianity would be too burdensome if we had to live by those rules, and it would most often lead to sin and not to righteousness. No wonder C.H. Spurgeon lamented, "I have found in my own spiritual life that the more rules I lay down for myself, the more sins I commit. The habit of regular morning and evening prayer is one which is indispensable to a believer's life. But the prescribing of the length of prayer and a constrained remembrance of so many persons and subjects may gender unto bondage and strangle prayer rather than assist it." And then the Apostle Paul said to the Galatians, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Beware of legalism." Heavenly Father, we love to keep score, to determine champions. Usually, those with the most points or achievements are pronounced winners. So we find ourselves comparing our works to others as though we are in a game to win. that's not only unproductive but can be deadly in our spiritual lives. We want to win in that contest and to be known as spiritual giants. And we are afraid that our deeper motives are to gain favor with you, thinking you will love us more if we work harder and better in our religious responsibilities. We can easily laugh at the Pharisees, mocking their legalism and hypocrisy. But we act the same when we take pride in how well we keep your laws compared to others. Instead, we need to keep our eyes on Christ. Remember that our salvation is all because of grace, not works, and understand that we can do nothing without your Spirit empowering us. Help us know that we should do good because you love us, not to earn your love. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.